the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. You guys, I have Jamie O'Neill in the house. What? So when she came out in 2000, her album Shiver went to gold. Number one back-to-back singles, two number one back-to-back singles. There Is No Arizona, When I Think About Angels. She's nominated for Grammys. She won ACM Top New Artist. She sang All By Myself in Bridget Jones' Diary. Okay, are you kidding me? That's like the movie of my life. She's amazing. She's so much fun to talk to. I'm so honored, thrilled, kind of fangirled out a little bit that I got to interview her because I'm such a fan of her. Here is Jamie O'Neill. Jamie O'Neill in the house. Actually, I'm in your house.
I know. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I didn't clean.
Your house is amazing. It's like you walk in and it's an experience. It's so cozy.
Thank you.
You have all these great feeling colors. What's the vibe that you would call your house?
I would call it castle meets kind of. I mean, I like the idea of it being cozy and kind of like earth tones, I guess. Nothing too garish and bright, more like soothing, but it's pretty dark. I mean, it's kind of like moody and
I love it. You know.
Thank you.
Absolutely love it.
And I've kind of collected things all over from all the places I've been, so everything has kind of a memory attached to it.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
I really think that's so special because you see it and it takes you back. You never forget where you've been.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, you're from Australia. I never knew that.
I know. Well, it throws people because I don't have an accent.
Where did your accent go?
It's kind of like, I always say it's the opposite of Nicole Kidman. She was born in New York or Hawaii or something.
Oh, really?
And then she moved to Australia. Well, I was born in Australia and then I moved here when I was two. So,
okay, but yeah, then so you raised moved back here. To Australia.
I moved back there, and I ended up touring with Kylie Minogue and going all over the world with her. And that was a major, it was just a life-changing experience in my 20s. And I lived back there for 9 years before I got offered my publishing deal and came back to Nashville in 1996.
Okay, so we have to break that down a little bit.
Yeah.
How?
It's very confusing.
You're from a family band.
Mm-hmm.
So you grew up playing music. Your parents, what kind of family band were you in?
My mom was a singer dancer. My dad was a songwriter and a guitar player, great guitar player and singer and yodeler.
Yodeler? Can you yodel?
Yes. No, no.
You can't.
My sister is a master yodeler. No,
show
I can't.
Me what you
I
got.
Can only do Little Old Lady.
I love it.
From the Knock Knock jokes. That's all I'm good for.
That's good enough though.
Right. So, family, and then my younger sister, and then my parents divorced. That kind of broke up the family band.
So, what was it? Was yodeling? It was country?
It was country music, and we did, like, Pop Goes the Country with Ralph Emery here in Nashville when I was little, and we worked with Ronnie Millsap, Dolly Parton, Crystal Gayle. We opened up for a lot of different country artists.
Wow, so you are, like, a very successful family band.
Well, I grew up.
The Partridge Family.
You know, it's kind of like that. Yeah, we had the overalls, we had the bus, you know, we in between fairs, we would just go to a KOA campground, plug in, and live there until the next fair. So we were really like gypsies. We just traveled wherever the work was.
How long did you do that?
My whole childhood, from the age of probably seven. I started singing at eight, but from the age of seven, I was on the road with my parents because they did it all the way up till about 13.
Wow. And you and your sister, is it just y'all two?
Then my dad remarried and had three more kids.
But the family band was over by then.
Right. Exactly.
So you
and then
sister,
he started a new family band with my sisters and my stepmom. So he's always been in the business and now he's co-managing me. So.
So he had the first family band with your mom and your sister. So it was four of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And then your parents divorced and he started a new family band with his new wife and three new kids.
Well, they didn't really go on the road though. They were just playing in Washington State. But yeah, everyone in my family sings or writes music and yeah, it's really
wow.
Cool because when we have karaoke nights. We really have karaoke.
You go hard.
My dad does Baby Got Back, and it brings down the house. He is a master rapper. It's amazing.
Are you serious?
He'll be here in a little while, so he might do it for
Maybe
you.
You could pop in and do a little yodeling, little rap session.
Wouldn't that be funny? Put a yodel in a rap song.
Let's do it.
That yodeling really is the country version of rapping, I guess.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. You don't meet many people who actually grow up in a family band, like, into the music like that, music industry like that.
Right. Yeah, we were singing. And, you know, the thing is, we thought it was so fun, so much fun. And my dad used to give us quarters to go to the arcade. So to us, you know, just being able to play the games, sing, and then ride the rides, and then eat a corn dog, and then do another show, and then get back on the ride. I mean,
heaven.
It was a great way to grow up, you know. And we never thought we were missing out on anything. And all we ever wanted to do was sing. And so it just, I think it was just, you know, something that started early and took a hold, and it's never gone away.
Did y'all tour all over the states?
We did.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So then, from 2 years old, you're born in Australia. You're from 2 to 13. You're touring in the family band mm-hmm. in the United States. At some point, though, you move back to Australia and you link up with Kylie Minogue. And how did that happen?
It is very confusing. Well, I was actually singing in Canada with a couple of the guys from Loverboy, and they gave me all these contacts. I said, I'm going to go to Australia and visit my mom, who was living over there at the time, and my sister. And do you have any musical contacts? And so one thing led to another. They gave me a list of people to call. I called all those people. Somebody that I was in a band with at the time said, hey, you know, she needs a backing vocalist. Would you like to do the tour? And I was like 21, 22. I said, heck yeah.
Yeah. What was Kylie like?
Really great.
She's the Madonna of Australia for sure, right?
She really is. And I feel like I learned so much from her because of her work ethic.
What'd you
learn? I've never seen anybody work so hard.
What's her regime like?
She's very, very structured and very disciplined. And she would dance all day. She would do interviews and dancing. We were over there doing rehearsals for like 10 days in, is it Birmingham? I don't want to say Birmingham because it's like, I don't want to mispronounce it, but set up in a huge, you know, arena type of rehearsal space for 10 days. She would come in early in the morning. They'd do dance rehearsals. They'd do fittings. And we were there, be there for like 10 hours. And
wow,
she would go beyond that because she had interviews to do and things like that. And I think, you know, just being super, super disciplined and coming off stage and still working on stuff. I mean, probably like Taylor Swift does. You know, they just never stop. They're really driven and very, she never complained.
She loved
it. Never complained. And I feel like that was a lot for me to learn, because I would look at her and I think she's never saying, oh, I'm so tired, I can't take this anymore, anything like that. I never heard a complaint out of her.
So now
work with other artists, as I do because I'm producing, if they complain, if these young girls start complaining about being too tired, I'm just like, suck it up.
Yeah.
It's a great job and it's a big job, but it takes a lot of commitment. And I think that drive where you wake up just with that burning ambition to keep going and to keep doing it and that nothing's too hard, that you can get through it, you know.
What a great boot camp experience.
It really was.
You're like made for this, though. You started off in your family band. You go straight to Kylie Minogue. I mean, like, honestly. And then, okay, so after that, you moved from Australia because you get offered a publishing deal
right.
in the States?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Which was, it was Harold Shedd. And it was kind of new to me because I'd been writing since I was 18. But it wasn't something like, in my mind, all I wanted to be was an artist. I didn't really think, I want to be a songwriter. And if an artist deal comes, great. It was more, I want to be an artist deal, and I'll write to help get my artist deal. Do you know what I mean?
So you weren't, like, trying to write for other people. You just wanted to, you
not
knew
at that,
that
time.
You wanted to be the artist.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was, and when people would want to pitch my songs, I'm like, no!
You know,
like, when I think about Angels, I'll never forget Whitney Dane was like, we need to pitch this to Jessica Andrews. And I'm like, no, it's mine! It's mine, mine, mine!
And was
now
yours,
I'd be
yours,
like,
yours.
Take it.
But I wanted to actually talk to you about your songwriting, because... Your songwriting is, you write such incredible lyrics. Like, when I think about
that's
Angels,
really sweet. I was just about to say, I'm more of a melody person, though. I have to say, I have to give it back to my co-writers, because if I didn't write, I'm not the kind of person that's going to sit home writing lyrics, but I will hum melodies all day long. All my melodies started first.
So you're a melody first, then
melody
lyrics.
Melody first, and then put, yes. I've never put a melody to lyrics. I've tried, but it just doesn't work out for me.
The melody has to come first, and then mm-hmm. the lyrics come.
Yes, yeah. And titles. I mean, I get titles, but not pages and pages of lyrics. I have so much respect for, like, Lisa Drew, who I wrote Arizona with, because all she does is lyrics. And she'll come in with just pages and pages of songs, and she'll fit it precisely to my melody. I could just send her a melody, and she'll do
That's
that.
That's a great combo team. Mm-hmm. There Is No Arizona is one of the most amazing songs.
Thank you.
Ever. That was your big breakout song. I will never forget when that song came out. I was like, holy cow. This girl can sing, and that song is so cool.
Thank you. How? Yeah, it was different for the time. You know,
it was. It has like a cool,
I was lucky.
Almost like a Hotel California vibe, a little bit.
We do Hotel California in the middle of that song. It's funny you should say that.
Are you serious?
We do. When we do the bridge, we go into the verse of Hotel California and then go back to the chorus of Arizona.
It's so cool.
Thank you.
So tell me how that felt. Okay, you got hooked up with Keith Stegall. Is it Stegall or Stegall? I can never.
I think it's Stegall.
Stegall. Mm-hmm. And he did all
emphasis
of Alan Jackson.
Emphasis on the Stee.
Stegall. He right. did all of Alan Jackson's records.
Yes.
So you get a publishing deal, and then does he hear you and like, I have to work with her. She's amazing.
I was so lucky to have, I feel like I wouldn't have a career if it wasn't for Keith. You know, I mean, he... Gary Overton was at EMI and set up an audition in the studio, sort of like this, where I was singing on the other side of the glass and Keith came in to listen to me because I guess he liked the idea of hearing someone in the studio because you really can hear someone's voice. Sometimes when people say, you sound so different live, you sound so much better live than you do on record, it's because when you're on record and it really picks up your tone, you're being in the studio, there are things that they can cover up afterwards. But right. when you're singing live on a mic, that's it.
That's it.
That is, you're going to hear every single thing that might be wrong with a singer or a voice or whatever, or what they're doing in their throat, you know, and things like that. The studio is a great place to discover that.
Yes.
And I think Keith knew that. And I think it was a really different way to audition. But when you think about it, it's so smart because you know what people are really like and what they can do. So anyway, I had prepared to do 4 songs and I made it through 2 and he's like, stop, I've heard enough. And I thought, oh my God, I'm not what he wants, you know, and everything. And no, he was like, he told Gary, he said, I want to sign her, like before he left that day. He was so, he was just instantly on board. And I just feel like everybody needs that one person that's their champion.
Absolutely.
And he was definitely my champion.
You have to get that power player in your corner who's just your right. cheerleader, going to make it happen, who believes in you.
Right.
But I feel like you would be very easy to believe in. Your voice is insane. Like when you came
to town, heard a lot of no's. I went around twice to different labels. Yes.
People
yes.
said no to you?
Yes. Oh,
with
yes.
that voice?
Yes.
Are you
yes.
serious?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, but it only takes one yes. And that's what I always tell everybody. Like you can't get discouraged because every time you hear a no, you're just like next, next, next. And you also really have to keep songwriting, you know, writing songs, because I didn't have Arizona when I got my deal. I wrote it after I got my record deal. But you just never know when that next song is going to be your breakout song. If anybody had asked me, I would have said Angels would be my first single. It was my second one, but I hadn't even written Arizona. It wasn't even on the radar. So I just feel like it's the songwriting thing. It's very disciplined. You have to, like my daughter is writing every day and she has that passion of running up to her room and creating and doing all that. For me, I had to be more disciplined, like make an appointment, show up, have my pages of ideas, melodies on my notes and things like that, because I didn't write by myself. And I'm so, I really admire the fact that, you know, she can't wait to get home from school and go write
She's
by herself.
She's 13. Mm-hmm.
Aaliyah.
She's already
singing.
She does
get called Aaliyah sometimes, though. Oh, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I see all your Instagram videos. She's
I know.
Amazing.
Hashtag proud mom.
You should be.
Yeah.
She can sing like a crazy person for 13 years old.
I know. She loves it, you know, and that's the
thing.
You can
see the passion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a blessing and a curse, though. There's part, Ronnie and I are like, go to medical school. Go to law school.
She's like, heck no, I got musician producer parents. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, and it's funny because she could probably, you know, you would think have an album recorded by now, but she doesn't. You know, we're always working with other people. And I mean, I will work with her, but I feel like she's so young. And I feel also like having been a child performer myself where I put everything into that, it kind of makes you grow up quicker and you're thinking about the business side of things and your childhood goes to the wayside. And I really want her to enjoy her childhood.
Yeah.
And I also feel like besides Leanne Rimes, who I feel is like the exception of a person who made it when she was 13 and has really kept herself together and is so amazingly talented and has sustained a career.
Right.
But that doesn't happen. That's not the norm. A lot
That's
of people
true.
Fall off the rails and go crazy, you know,
that
go
is
nuts,
true, actually.
End up on a therapist's couch, you know.
Don't
and
we
I,
all?
I, yeah. At one time or another, we definitely do. But But that, it's handed to them so soon, you know, and if you're not ready for it.
It's a lot to process. That's actually very smart.
Yeah.
So let her have her childhood, and then maybe when she's ready to fly.
The other thing is, it takes so much work. It takes so much conditioning when it comes to everything about, you know, your songwriting and your singing and getting better. And if you don't work on it, I don't know that it's going to come. You know, if it's one of those things, I just want to be a star, but the work ethic isn't there. Right. I don't think it's going to work.
I could not agree with you more. Yeah. I think that's a big misconception people have, is they think, oh, people live this glamorous life and they're flying around and playing shows. That's like the very least of the job, I feel like. Don't you think?
Absolutely. And the steps you have to take to get there.
So what are the steps? Tell me the steps. When you got your big break and your big record deal, There Is No Arizona came out, and then right after, When I Think About Angels, tell me what that looked like. You were also touring with Reba, you toured with Kenny Chesney, Alan Jackson, like you've toured with the greats, Martina McBride.
I know. I
what
love
did
Martina
your life
McBride.
Look like in that season?
It was very busy. It was definitely like, when I look back on it, I think I wish I could have enjoyed the moments.
I've heard people say
a little
that
bit
before.
More. I think everybody would say the same thing. You know, I wish I could have stayed in the moment. But I feel like for me, it did happen so quickly that I was just bamboozled by all that I wanted to do and wanting to sustain and that kind of thing. And then, you know, with leaving record companies, and then I had my baby, and then my focus completely changed. I wanted to be there with her 100%. And, you know, it's just, life changes and it takes you down roads you never expected. And that's definitely what show business is like. But I feel like if you can make yourself be prepared for what you think might be coming, and lots of things are distractions. For me, I didn't even get my record deal until I was 33, and I was getting,
are you serious?
I was getting married, and my grandfather was sick. My aunt was sick. They were both sick with cancer at the same time as I was getting married, and my record was coming out. So
that's awesome.
It was all like happening at once. You know what I mean? It was hard to take in and stay focused and, you know, do what I needed to do and also be emotionally prepared for everything, I think.
So how old were you when There Is No Air? When is it? Is it There Is No Arizona is the whole title, or is it just Arizona?
Yes, no,
you're
there
just
is
shortening
no Arizona.
It to
Arizona.
Okay. How old are
I
you?
I love when people say there ain't no Arizona too, and then, or they say, or one person told me, I love that song yours, Raising Arizona. I'm like, that was a movie with Nicolas Cage, and it was a great one, but it's not my song.
How old were you when that song came out?
Let's see, I got my record deal in pretty much the next year, so like 34.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was touring? You're actually, before I get to touring, I interned at Capitol Records, and you were on Capitol.
Really? Were we there at the same time?
Yes, because seeing you, and I was so starstruck.
Oh, my gosh. You're so sweet.
I swear. Like, my whole life has been so fun because starting off interning, I interned at, like, Universal South,
You see
Capitol.
So much.
Yes, I interned at all these record labels, and I would just be around these artists, like, just kind of wide-eyed and silent, so scared to breathe because I was such a fan of country music.
Yeah.
So it was so cool to intern where you are, and now I'm getting to interview
you. Wow, that's amazing. So you were there with John Zarling, and where were you? Capitol?
Capitol.
Okay. Yeah. Because Mercury, John Zarling was an intern there.
It was like Jimmy Harnon was there, and Steve, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting his name? He did
promotions.
And
I've forgotten too.
I know, everybody.
That's terrible.
I know.
You know when you have a baby, a lot of your memories, they get all fuzzy, and I'm just
I've heard that. I have
deer
in
the headlights.
Memory.
Yeah, I do too. Would you? And you don't even have any kids.
Exactly.
Wait till that happens.
Oh, God, Lord bless me.
Yeah. You'll probably leave him at the Kroger.
Accident. Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
Leave him in the diaper aisle. Where did I leave my baby? That's amazing. So, yeah, that was, I guess that was kind of the Atlantis and Somebody's Hero days. Mm-hmm. Was that when you were there?
It's Somebody's Hero. That song was so great.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like you have message songs.
I do. I do try to think about that. I mean, I do like to really write story songs. I love writing because then you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
If you're saying I all the time and you want to project a certain image, but when you do the story songs, like say Carrie Underwood does, you can go anywhere.
That's so
true. You
can
kill somebody. I mean, you can drink yourself blind. You can beat someone up. You can do all those things if you're saying they did it.
Exactly.
But you can't if you're you really have to be honest about who you are. You know, because I remember now I write all kinds of songs. I mean, especially with these younger artists, I find myself writing more like friendship songs or falling in love songs. But if I'm writing songs just for anybody, and no matter who it is, I can write about anything nowadays. But when I was thinking as an artist, I would be, well, I don't want to write any songs about cheating. I don't want to write any songs about saying it's okay to cheat. And I don't want to write any songs about getting drunk. You know what I mean?
You didn't want to. No, that wasn't the image you wanted to project.
No, and it's not really me. You know what I mean? I really wanted to be true to what I felt was right.
Yeah.
Even though I know those are great songs and I sing them, you know, I sing Patsy Cline songs and I sing, you know, some of these songs that just amaze me. I just kind of wanted the audience and the fans to know who I was and what I kind of stood for, mm-hmm. you know?
I think that's so crucial to represent yourself truly as an artist.
Well, I think the fans know when you're being fake. I think they recognize authenticity, and I think that's what they really connect with, you know, is
yes.
I know who this person is, and that's exactly how I feel, and that's how what I would do in a relationship totally. Or not, you know. And so some of the artists that I feel like you have to believe them are the ones that make it to the top.
I agree.
Because you absolutely believe every word they're saying.
Yes.
You know, Garth Brooks.
Yes.
Taylor Swift, people yes. like that, where when they sing a song,
it's
man,
real.
You believe it. You're in
you
the palm
do.
Of their hand. You absolutely... And, you know, it takes being a fan to get fans. Do you know what I mean? So
I agree with that.
I've always been a fan, and I love the way Taylor Swift is fangirling all the time.
I love that.
She recognizes talent in people and, you know, pats them on the back. And I feel like other people see that and love that, too, because that's the way most people are.
Supporting. To support everyone.
Absolutely.
Loretta Lynn always says there's enough room for everybody.
Exactly.
And there is. Yeah. If you're doing you and you're doing it like how you feel called to do, then it's going to happen the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, if you're being yourself. Absolutely.
Okay, so in this whirlwind, you won ACM New Artist of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Was it ACM?
Mm-hmm.
Then you, like, Billboard New mm-hmm. Artist of the Year. You were nominated mm-hmm. for 4 Grammys.
Yeah.
Are you freaking out?
I was freaking out. And when I did the announcements for the Grammys, it was really cool. And it was like Usher and Stevie Nicks and Beyonce. And I remember that was when I was looking around going, am I really amongst these people? Like, they don't know who I am.
But
I knew who they were.
That's the company you're in. That's your colleagues.
Right, yeah. And I remember the Dixie Chicks too. Natalie Maines came up to me on the CMA red carpet, my very first CMAs, and said, I love your song. I love your voice. That was a huge moment for me. If anybody says, what are your big moments? I'm like, well, that was as a new artist, you know, barely known, you know, still living in a little rental apartment, you know, with my husband. That was a big, huge moment for me. Just that recognition. And I love that about her. And I thought, I always want to be that way. I always want to recognize other people.
I love, because you knew how great it made you feel.
Right.
To have someone that you admire.
Or like Maya Angelou says, you know, people won't remember what you said, but they'll always remember how you make them feel.
That's
and I think
quotes.
It's so important.
I love that you live that way.
Yeah. Well, that's I don't know amazing. If I live that way. I don't want to be like totally, you know, saying I do it all the time, because we all get in our own world. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm driving my car and I turn off the radio deliberately to try to get melodies, because that's when they come to me in the car. So a lot of times on my voice notes, you hear all this, you know, fire trucks going past and people honking and me screaming at another driver, whatever. But that's the time when I, you know, really. The melodies do come to me, but if I'm thinking about other things, it's definitely a block, you know, like I need to do this. I need to take care of this,
right.
And, you know, just your everyday
your
life.
Connection shut off. Yeah. Why in the car?
Because as a mom, I probably drive 60 miles a day. A lot of time is spent in the car. And
that's
I think,
true.
I guess the car is a quiet space.
Yeah.
You know?
You know,
when you're home,
focus.
You're doing stuff. I'm usually down here singing background vocals or writing upstairs with co-writers and, you know, with Rodney here, you know, he busts in, you know, in on my groove. And
So how did you and Rodney meet, and how long have y'all been
married? We met in the studio. We have been together for 21 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Married for 16. So
what's
it'd be 17
secret?
This year. I don't know if there is a secret, because I feel like what works for one person doesn't work for another. It's weird, because if you had said to me, you're going to end up working with your husband in the studio and on the road and still be together and doing everything that we do, I would have said, no way could I take that. Because I remember doing a cruise with him before I had any success, and we were just dating, and we did a cruise together, and he drove me crazy.
Why?
In that little space. Well, I don't know. It was a confined space, and I just thought, this is what marriage must be like, you know?
You can never leave.
If we didn't have this house with some space, I don't know. You know, I think you need your own separate thing.
I do
but
too.
He's never been the kind of person that would ever stop me from doing what I want to do, which I think is
crucial.
Important for any relationship.
I agree.
And he's never been jealous.
Crucial.
And he's never needed to be reassured.
Wow.
And those are three really unattractive things that I think someone can do, especially
in entertainment.
If you don't understand what someone's doing and let them go do it with a healthy respect, you know what I mean? You don't want to like just ignore them and go, okay, well, I'll see you when you get back.
Right.
But because you are, it's kind of cool when you're going to miss that person, you know.
Yes.
They're gone for a little while. You know,
it's great
your husband's
to miss
on
someone.
The road. Yeah.
Actually, my husband's been home for 2 months over Christmas.
Is he driving you crazy?
It's not driving me crazy, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be excited to miss you. And I think
right.
he felt the same way because we always have a little bit of time to miss each other. And it kind of keeps you your relationship always fresh.
It does. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we don't really have that now, but we had a lot of that in the beginning because, you know, I was a new artist and everything. And he was in the band, but I'd have to go do different things, you know, often fly off for things that he wasn't involved in. So we had all that in the early days. And
I think
now,
that's also great to have him included in your life because
yes,
I do think
yes.
artists that are totally separate from their spouses, that could also be problems.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, I think it takes a special person to understand this crazy business.
Damn.
And the fact that, you know, one of the things that he and I hit quite a lot with any issues is he'll always say to me, you don't keep me in the loop, you don't tell me what's going on with our daughter. And I'm like, we're two chicks, you know, we don't have time to stop and tell you every move we're making.
Please,
it's just tedious.
Don't leave me out.
But it's funny because I get it as a dad, because if we had a son, I'm sure it would be the two of them going everywhere and making plans.
Totally.
And then me going, wait, where are you guys going? What's going on? You know, but for my daughter and I, we're like looking at each other, rolling our eyes. Here comes dad again with his 20 questions as we're walking out the door. So a lot of times, because he's working in the studio, we sneak out the front and he goes out there and we're gone. He calls us, what's going on? Where did you guys leave? We're like, we didn't want the 20 questions.
What a trooper.
So we just left.
I love it.
Just booked it out of here.
You guys are a cute family.
Oh, thank you.
I love that.
Thank you. That's so sweet of you.
Well, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters.
Sense of humor is huge.
Oh, right?
It really is huge. I feel sorry for people who don't have it, you know, that can't laugh.
Seriousness.
Hysterically. Or are too uptight to laugh.
Honestly, you can laugh at everything.
Yeah.
You can find a little bit of humor in everything.
Yeah. I think our daughter sometimes thinks we're nuts because we're like, you know, Modern Family a little bit. You know what I mean? We laugh at that show so much, but it's because we can relate a lot to those crazy characters.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so another cool thing that I'm going to fangirl out about is I'm obsessed with the Bridget Jones Diary.
Oh, cool.
It's like for my single years in my 20s, I felt like I was Bridget Jones, just like the hottest mess ever.
Yeah, yeah, I
She's
get
just
it.
A disaster, but in the
I
best
love her.
Way.
Yeah.
You sang All By Myself, which they had had Celine Dion, when they were going to have her do it, right?
I think it was going to be too expensive, so they got old cheapo over here.
No, but the fact that, like, you and Celine, how would a
I know.
Compliment.
It was
like,
a
that
huge
is your,
compliment.
That is the caliber of your voice is, like, neck and neck with Celine Dion. I mean, hello, Jamie O'Neill.
Yeah, it was. I think she wants to go. She is so bored with this.
This
she's
is
like,
Chelsea.
I'm out of here. This
she's
is Chelsea, y'all. And she's like, adios.
Peace out, biatches. Okay, bye, Chelsea. That's a little dog. She's a little terrier.
She's a Morkie.
Oh, wait, what is it? Yorkie?
I call it a Yaltese. It's Maltese and Yorkie. So
a
that's Yaltese. Yaltese instead of Morkie, you know.
And you're not
it's
even
more
from
southern.
Texas.
I know. My stepmom is though.
Okay.
I think that's weird. I haven't seen Bridget Jones's Baby.
I haven't either.
But they had already shot the movie when I got to sing it, so I had to watch her and follow her when I sang. I had to follow her lip syncing. She had already lip synced to the other version. Okay. So that was like a first for me, was trying to do something like that.
Holy cow.
So did you actually get to meet Renee Zellweger?
I did. I got to go to the movie and meet Hugh Grant and Renee Zellweger. Yeah, it was really cool.
So would you have picked...
Paris Hilton was there, too. I remember that was big the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you have picked Hugh Grant or Colin Firth? If you were
Hugh Grant. Not his personality. I guess I'm just going by looks.
But he's so charming.
He is charming. Yeah.
Yes.
He is charming for sure.
Okay, so how did that feel?
But I would pick Patrick Dempsey in the new one over any of them.
Oh,
I love McDreamy. I'm so upset.
He died in Grace.
I started crying. on Grey's Anatomy when that happened. And my daughter was like, Mom, get it together. This isn't real. What is going on with you?
It
and
is then real.
My husband's so sweet. He's like, sweetie, you got to realize she's had a lot of years invested in this character. He was so sweetie. I'm like, thank you for understanding. Yeah.
Look at your hubby.
I love Grey's Anatomy. I'm a huge Grey's fan. And I really miss Patrick Dempsey. I'm sorry.
Well, he's McDreamy. How could the show go on without McDreamy?
I don't know.
I don't either.
And they shocked us. It wasn't like we knew it was coming.
Well, you can't kill the main character.
Yeah. Well, apparently they did, and they're going for it. They're still going strong.
Rude. No one consulted us.
I know. Exactly.
But how did that feel to have that huge moment in Bridget Jones' Diary?
Amazing.
Where you're singing all by myself.
Yeah.
She's lip singing it, having this big dramatic moment, and it's your voice.
It was amazing. I feel like I can't use a bigger word than that. I mean, it was life-changing for me because it happened so early in my career, and I would love to do it again. But then when it came out on Bridget Jones's Baby, everyone was like, hey, Britney Spears.
Oh,
like,
wait, it's on Bridget Jones' Baby, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Britney Spears even put it up. She put up a little YouTube of
that scene,
and I was like, oh, Britney Spears is talking about
that. That scene is in the new movie?
Not that scene, but they do play the song again, and she says something like, oh, screw off.
Oh, my God.
No, piss off or something. Very British.
And it's you again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cheers. High five.
I know. The
Word
song that lives on.
I didn't even know that. Yeah. I didn't even know it was a repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and what a cool movie to be in.
I know.
It's like the girl movie.
Did you see? So you haven't seen the movie, obviously.
I haven't seen the new one, but I love
the other ones. I want to see Patrick Dempsey. That's all I care about.
So, okay, that leads me to another question. Is he your hall pass?
I'm going to say that would have to be Ryan Reynolds for the sense of humor that I love Ryan Reynolds. I love the way he's so dry, and I just can, I want to go to dinner at Blake and Ryan's house.
I know.
You know, I just, I want to watch their sense of humor together.
I think they're the cutest couple.
Yeah.
So cool.
So cute. So,
Ryan Reynolds, he's pretty top of the list.
He is.
Okay.
He's good looking, but he doesn't know it. And I don't know.
That's, and he's funny.
That's attractive, too. Yeah.
Funny is so key.
Girls, we always get, the guys with a sense of humor always get us, don't you think?
I think so, because who wants to be like all stiff and serious?
I know.
Not
exactly.
Me. Life is too serious.
And you don't
enough.
Want someone that has more mirror time with hair products than you either.
Amen.
You just want the guy who just puts on a ball cap, hasn't showered in 2 days, and goes out the door. That's my husband.
Your
husband's like, I don't
awesome.
Care.
Okay, so we're in, speaking of your husband, we are in y'all's studio called The Grotto, which is awesome. Totally.
Which is
baller.
A little grotty right now, as we say in Australia. It's a little grotty.
What does that mean?
Messy, dirty,
no,
not clean.
It's great, though. It's got this great vibe. Tell me about
it. Is a vibe. It's
totally
a cool vibe.
Vibey.
It's just, it could use a little maid action, I think, right now.
Ah, nah. I think you're being hard on yourself.
Yeah. When Rodney comes in here with his dust, you saw him dusting. When you got here, it's very cute. He plays the maid, you know, with the little
he's the best. Y'all
dusting
the best.
Feather.
So y'all have this grotto, and you produce too. You song,
I do,
right?
Yeah.
You sing and you produce.
One of my artists right now is Kaylee Rutland, and her song is on Radio Disney Country.
Radio
is it
Disney
Radio?
That's awesome.
Is it Radio Disney Country or Radio Country? I think it's Disney Country.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big
I'm
deal.
I'm slightly dyslexic.
I can't.
Yes.
I don't know anything.
And we just shot a video with Kristen Barlow for it.
Oh,
and
she's
Kaylee.
Awesome.
Yeah, Kristen is
the best.
She's so cool. She's so funny. Speaking
yes.
of funny and gorgeous, she's amazing. And so, yeah, Kaylee did a great job. The video is going to be incredible, and it's about to be premiered at iHeartRadio Summit. And
badass.
Yeah, CRS is coming up.
How'd you get into producing? And do you like producing or being an artist more, or is it two different animals?
I think it's all part of the same animal, you know? It's more like the leg. That, no. But I think I still love being on stage. I mean, love performing and singing. It's just like, there's nothing else like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also love seeing the results of helping someone else. And does that make sense?
Like, so you're kind of loving
it. I love
it
seeing
all.
Someone getting better and helping them find, you know, the right stylist or maybe finding the look that works for them and connecting them with, you know, photographers or video directors and people that I've known in the business. And I don't know, the whole start to finish thing about helping, mentoring an artist, writing with them and everything. Every part of it is something I enjoy, being in the studio too.
So when you work with an artist, you don't just produce them, you do the full meal deal. You start at the beginning.
If it's for Momentum, my label that we started a few years ago with Rochelle Lanay.
Which is also amazing. You have a record label.
Yeah.
How
yeah,
is running
it's
a label?
Really great. Well, my dad does most of the heavy lifting and a couple of other. We have a great team of people. But so I'm more the creative side, but I do love all aspects of it. I love performance, helping people with their performance and just everything. Being on set, watching someone else. Now, that's when I watch someone else do a video, it makes me be like, I want to do it.
I need to be out there doing it.
Yeah, but I do love seeing all aspects of the editing and just everything, you know, going into the booth and seeing it come together.
Tell me the three top experiences of your career that you could say off the top of your head that you've had so far.
Being at the Grammys, being nominated, that always to me is my first. Bridget Jones is a huge one. And I think making the connection with other artists that I've always looked up to, Reba, for instance, Reba McEntire is a hero of mine. And then when she cut my song, it was just like, oh, thank you.
Which
so
is another
much.
Thing that we're yeah. talking about is Reba. Yeah. Hey. Oh, is this?
This is my dad.
And you're the yodeler and the rapper. Okay, we need to hear him. We're gonna have a guest spot from you. You have to come on. We've heard all about it. Yeah. Can you yodel on the spot?
Like jumping into a cold swimming pool.
Here, you have to come talk into the microphone really fast. So this is Jamie's dad.
Dad's coming in with some coffees and being put on the spot.
Oh, yes, this is very...
It is real.
Okay, we're just going to say a little hello to you because you started the whole thing with the family band and the yodeling.
Yes.
Okay, so give us anything you want to give us, just a little nugget.
Okay, a little old... little old country, western, country and western yodeling. Lady, olody, 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 olody.
Oh my
but
gosh.
And the rapping now, I don't know. Okay, I feel like maybe we need the rapping
to
go as
rapping.
Well. Well, no, Dad, why don't you put the coffees down, grab a guitar, and do this thing right?
Here, put the coffees down, grab a guitar. Here, I'll take the coffees.
Thank you.
You stay here. Okay. And let's grab you a guitar, and now we got to hear the rapping. This is too good to be true. So you yodel and you
rap. We talk
rap.
About him, and then he shows up with bringing coffee.
Perfect. You're like a vision. You're a dream come true.
What is this show?
This is called Hyper
Dad's
Caroline
like,
Hobby.
This is Caroline.
Well, hello. So nice to meet you. Okay, I'm going to hold this to you, and you now give us your rapping.
Okay. Do you have a pink one?
Oh, here you go. Here you go.
Thank you.
Okay. This is so exciting.
What it is, check it out, run it down, that's right, hey, I like big butts and I cannot lie, you other brothers can't deny, when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist, round thing in your face, you get sprung. Want to get up beside it because you see that butt is stuffed. Try the jeans that she is wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Ooh, baby, I want to get with you and take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me. That butt you got makes me so horny. Ooh, rumpa smooth skin. Say you want to get my pins? Why, use me. Use me because you ain't that average groupie. I see her dancing to hell with romance. She sweats, wet, gotta go like a terrible vet. I'm tired of magazines saying flat butts on the thing. Take an average black man and ask him that. She gotta pack much back. So fellas, fellas, your girlfriend got that butt? Hell yeah. Shake it, shake it, shake that healthy butt. Baby got back. Baby got back.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so
we need that right at the start of it.
Yes, introduce yourself.
I'm Jimmy.
Jimmy Murphy. He's like Madonna. He just goes by Jimmy.
Just goes by Jimmy.
Now Jimmy Murphy.
Jimmy Murphy. That is Jamie O'Neill's father, and oh my gosh, how incredible is that?
I told you we have the best karaoke nights.
I can't even
our family nights trump. That's on a par with the shark bite.
It is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It just is when you talk to your dad about coolness.
Right.
That's not a part, don't you think?
Right.
My
dad got bit in the face by a shark, but he cannot sing about butts.
Yeah.
So I think you might. He really got bit by a shark in the face. Yeah, I know. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes, I
appreciate it. That was such a treat. That was too much fun.
Oh, thank you.
That is going to go viral.
That's hilarious.
There's no way Dad's gone viral. Dad's gone viral.
I don't know what's funnier, bending over with the coffees and yodeling.
Yeah.
You know, or the baby got back.
I think it's the combo meal of it all. It's pretty spectacular. And it actually gives me so much more insight into you, Jamie.
Right. You see what's gone on behind the scenes. Yes. Craziness.
I like it. If you're not crazy, what's the point? You know? Exactly. You gotta have that.
Gotta be loose and ready to go at a moment's notice. Like
Jamie,
that.
He didn't even need any time to warm up. He's totally ready to go.
Yeah. I have put him on the spot at the Opry, too. I was playing at the Opry, and I'm like, you know what? You know, we just had some yodelers here. I think I'm going to bring my dad out to yodel. And Dad's like, you could have warned me. I'm like, but then it wouldn't be fun if you didn't do it spur of the moment.
That's amazing. I freaking love it. Okay, so I think, let me see, is there anything I'm missing? You also do a songwriter cruise? You did one?
We are doing one, and that's great. I'm so glad you brought that up because Randy Hobday at Daily Travel will be so happy that you brought up.
Okay.
We're doing an Alaskan cruise. I've never been to Alaska.
Oh, amazing.
I've always wanted to go to Alaska. Colin Ray has been to Alaska on the
same. Love Colin Ray.
Yeah, he was just here, actually. He and Ronnie Millsap were doing some interviews.
In your house?
Yeah.
I forget that these people are just your friends, like Colin
Ray.
We're using
the studio.
Well, and y'all came up together in the same class, like you and Ty Herndon. And Colin Ray. Who else was in that class with you?
Well, those guys, when I got to Nashville, they were already big stars.
They were.
So, yeah, I feel like they've had been around longer than I have and had, 15 number ones, I think Colin has had. Incredible like that.
Colin Ray.
Yeah.
He's the jam.
I sang I Can't Live If Living Is Without You with him because he did that with Susan Ashton. And so I was doing a show with him. And he said, will you come out and sing with me? And I was like, sure. We didn't even rehearse. I walked out there and was just like, holy moly. His voice is so incredible. He has so much power. He's just as good as he ever was.
Yep.
And that was definitely a highlight for me singing that song with him because he's amazing.
Gosh. Okay, so go back to the cruise.
So the Alaskan cruise is July 9th through the 16th.
Nice.
My daughter, my husband, and I are going on it. And we're doing acoustic shows and songwriting seminars. And, Aaliyah's going to talk to them about her writing and what her process is. I'm going to talk to them about writing. We're going to take Q&A. And even work within anybody who's actually a songwriter who wants to come on there and do some writing.
Heck, yeah. How do we sign up for it?
I think you go to Jamie O'Neill cruise or Alaskan cruise. Yeah, it's on my website. It's on my Facebook.
Tell me about your website, Jamie O'Neill.
JamieO'Neill.com. And then I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram, Jamie O'Neill Official, and Twitter. And you can find out all the information about that. And you can also go to Daily Travel, which is DAYLEE Travel. And
okay.
He does the booking for that cruise and many other cruises. I'm really super excited.
That's going to be awesome.
It's going to be incredible.
Oh,
we're going to see a glacier. We might write a song on a glacier.
You probably should.
I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that I miss?
I mean,
there's so much.
We talked about the artists and we talked about the cruise and... That's what I'm doing.
Okay, I like to wrap up with... Oh, by the way, I had to tell you.
Tell me your recipe, because I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one.
You know who your doppelganger is?
No.
I was watching your videos, obviously, because I was like stalking you profusely.
Your background search, because you're a good interviewer.
When I think about angels, you and Meg Ryan are like... y'all are the same.
I was going to say, Meg Ryan, back in the day, I would get... asked all the time, are you Meg Ryan? One woman in Jersey was like, I know who you are when Harry met Sally. You are her.
Can you
You're
do that
Meg
scene?
Ryan.
Can you do that famous scene?
No. That would be like after a few glasses of wine, I think, before I went into that. No, I love that movie, though. I can't wait till my daughter's old enough to show her that. That's one of the things you think about when you have a child and they start getting older and they become like your buddy. Is like, I can't wait to show you this movie, but you can't see it now.
Not yet.
Come back in like 3 or 4 years.
And then you'll be ready to see the sandwich scene or whatever diner scene is.
Yes.
I love it so much.
I love Meg Ryan. I love the two of them together.
Love.
Billy Crystal. He's so funny.
Love. Okay. So is there anything left on your bucket list and what are you excited about for 2017?
Huge things.
You've done so
bucket
much
list
so
for me, though, is going on safari to South Africa and seeing the animals and taking pictures. And that would be like just a dream trip. But I think also going back to Europe and singing and playing some shows and seeing one of my artists make it to the level that, you know, we all want to make it to.
Yes.
That's a dream.
I love that.
Yeah. It's a goal for 2017-18. Yeah.
So I like to wrap up with Leave Your Light. So leave some inspiration, how you've been inspired or how you would like to inspire people.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. One of the most important things that I can tell people is, you know, when they have this talent and this innate ability to connect with people and want to make music is to keep going, but to write everything down. Like if you have a title or if you're, you know, going into a bookstore and you're just looking and seeking out ideas or melodies, it will come to you, you know, because everybody has something to give and everybody's different than the next person. I always tell people, don't compare yourself to others. Don't try to compete. It's not a competition, you know.
Amen.
So I guess that I'm probably giving way too much advice to people that are like, okay, I'm like a mom to a lot of these people because they're so young.
But you need to give it. People need to know, you know.
Yeah, that's true. And know that it really is hard work, but it's so worth it. At the end of the day, it's so worth it.
I love it. Thank you, Jamie O'Neill.
Thank you. Thanks for coming over, Caroline.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here.
In the grotto. Okay, peace out. Caroline,
she's the queen of talking. I hope you loved hearing from Jamie O'Neill. She's the bomb.com.
Next week, I have Kyle Jacobs, and you may know him and recognize him from I Love Kelly Pickler on CMT. He is Kelly Pickler's husband, and he is the best guy ever. Love him so much. He's also Lee Bryce's producer. Amazing. He wrote More Than a Memory for Garth Brooks. Do you remember that song? It came out. It was the first song to ever debut at number one on the country charts. It was insane. And he's probably just the sweetest guy ever. Love him like a brother. Cannot wait for him to join me. So next week, Kyle Jacobs will be in the house. Make sure you guys subscribe on iTunes and leave some comments and tune in next week. Bye, guys.